It is good to be back. Missed a little bit a week ago, and I know that you had a good service that Sunday, but I'm glad to be back here, home, and be able to share some things with you. You know, the title of the lesson is Family Tree, and I don't know what you think about when you hear that, but I know that a lot of us, when we think about a family tree, we think about our ancestry, we think about genealogy, we think about where we came from. You know, this world, and especially our country right now, we have maybe even overemphasized where we came from. We are in the middle of really a pretty chaotic time in the history of this country because we are arguing all the time with people about what language should we speak. We go to our schools, and even right here in the state of Oklahoma, we have school districts that are teaching in other languages than English. And we need to do those things because those people in those classrooms have a different heritage than we have. And so we are supposed to accommodate them because of where they came from. Now, don't worry, this is not a political lesson. I'm not saying, let's throw away history of people and where people came from. That's not it at all. I think it's kind of cool to be able to look back at some of our family history, and I carry a card that says I'm a part of the Muscogee or Creek Nation. And if you've seen my mom or her van, a lot of times she'll have something on the sticker on it that says, I'm proud to be Indian. So we have some ties to our history, and that's okay. But when we start arguing and we start fighting about our history, where we came from, and we really don't understand life, we don't get what it's really about. There is a commercial, and I should have gone back and really YouTubed it to find exactly what it said, but you'll know it. And there's a guy on there, he's talking about his history. He said, man, this was my history, this is who I was, I studied it, and I looked at it, and I thought that's where I came from, and then I actually did some research, and it might be that Ancestry.com commercial, one of those commercials, and he says, then I find out, that's not even who I was. And so now I have a kilt. And so he starts wearing his skirt around and saying, this is who I am. Some of y'all laughing, you've seen that commercial. And so we buy into that. This is who we are. This is because I look back and generations ago, my father, my grandfather, great-grandparents, great-great-great-great-grandparents, way back there, this is where they came from. This is who I am. And this is my identity. And a lot of times we believe that. Well, I want to share a few things with you and the problems with that philosophy for a couple of minutes and then share with you who we really are. In Nehemiah chapter 7, we spent a few weeks back in Ezra and the return from captivity back to Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple. But Nehemiah is called the cupbearer to the king, and he also is guiding back some of that remnant back to Jerusalem. But in chapter 7 of Nehemiah, it says in verse 5, the Lord put into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the people to be enrolled by genealogies. Then I found the book of the genealogy of those who came up first, in which I found the following record. Then he starts describing or laying out families. And what he's saying, we're tracing our genealogies back. It's really important to them. Why? Because God said from the beginning of the law, when He gave it to them, He said, you know what? If you're going to be a priest, you have to be from this family. And if you can't trace your lineage, your genealogy to this family, you can't be a priest. And if you can't trace it specifically to this particular family, instead of just a tribe, then you can't be among the high priests. And then you skip down in Nehemiah chapter 7 and go down to verse 61. And he says, and these were those who came up. And he says all these names. But, the second part of that verse he says, but they could not show their fathers' houses or their descendants whether they were of Israel or not.
Now, we looked in, we had the book, and we open up the book, and we start tracing the lineages down, and they don't exist.
They come up and they say, well, I'm the descendant of, and so I have the right to do this. And they say, well, let's look and make sure the record is here. And he starts reading and he says, I'm sorry, but you're not here. I can't trace your genealogy back here.
So, he says, you skip down to verse 64. These searched among their ancestral, searched among their ancestral registration, but it could not be located. Therefore, they were considered unclean and were excluded from the priesthood. Is that harsh?
Sorry, but you know what? If you want a tribal card for one of the tribes here, my tribe, the Creek Nation, you have to be able to trace your ancestry back to someone who's on the rolls. And if you can't do that, you're excluded. Well, that seems a little harsh. Why can't we all be there? Because you're not related. Doesn't that make sense? Well, I want to
go to England,
and I want to be a prince. Who cares what you want? You're not in the family. You don't have any rights. Well, you're just mean and ugly and nasty to me, and I don't think I like you anymore. It doesn't change the fact that your name is not on the roll. Does it change anything? How much we desire? How much we want? He says, Nehemiah said,
we've got it out. We opened up this big book and we started looking at it. And you know what? The Jews were very good about history. They wrote everything down. Who was related to who? Who had who? This is my son. These are my children. And those children wrote down, these are my children. And maybe you've done that. Maybe you have a family Bible. You know, that used to be, you could take that to court or to places to show who your lineage was. People believed in those things. Who would lie in a Bible? Maybe you have one of those Bibles. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've done some research. I had for a class at Oklahoma Christian, I had to trace some of my lineage down to hand it to my professor. And he wanted to know all the things related to cousins, aunts, uncles, and marriages, and who they married, and children born. He wanted to know all of this stuff. And there's a big chart. Maybe some of you had to do that. And we do that, and there are all these businesses and companies, and they want us to help us find our ancestors. Why? We want to belong. We want to know who we are. We want to know where we came from. We want to know because there may be something of value to where we came from.
There may be some kind of an inheritance coming. There may be all kinds of things that are going to happen if we can trace our lineage back to something, to someone who's significant.
Well, sometimes we search and realize we're not there. Some of the Israelites did that. And if your name is not on the genealogy, is not in the book, you're excluded.
And you're not allowed to be a part of it.
That is the bad news. How do you think those people felt when they were told,
we're sorry, but you're not allowed to be here?
We know that you were told through generations that you were related and you should have this right, but I'm sorry, you can't prove it, so you can't be here. Probably the way most people would feel. I don't really care for that, any. I don't like that. But God said, if He laid the law down and He said, if this is not the case, if you can't find your name, if you can't keep these records, then you can't be a part. Now you think about that, and then you flip over to the New Testament, and you look at Matthew would be in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, and we're talking about Christ, and Matthew starts recording the genealogy of Jesus. And he starts tracing Jesus' ancestry back. And he'll go back some 40 generations all the way back to Abraham. Now, if you look in Luke chapter 3, Luke does similar thing. He traces the lineage also back some 77 generations all the way back to Adam, or as it says, Adam, the son of God. So Jesus' lineage is traced through Matthew and through Luke. And if you look at them, they're a little different. And if you understand it, why they're doing that is because one of those lineages is traced through Joseph, one of them is traced through Mary. So they make sure, because the promise was to come through the offspring of David, and they wanted to trace them all the way back to David for sure, and show that they came from two different sons of David, and know that Mary and Joseph were both traced their lineage back to where it's supposed to come from. But then all the way back to Abraham. Why to Abraham? Why does Matthew do it in Abraham? Because the passage it was just read a few moments ago. Did you listen? What was it? It was the call of Abraham that Bill was reading for us, right? And he said, Abraham, I want you to leave your country, your people, and go somewhere I'm going to show you. And he makes a threefold promise there. He says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to give you land. And through your seed, all the nations or all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And he says those three things. So we want to make sure that whatever this genealogy is, we need to be able to trace that back to the promise. So we trace it. And Matthew traces that back. And he says, here it is. And the interesting thing, though, if you go back and read a few others, like Joshua chapter 21, verse 45 and 23, verse 14, Joshua says, those promises that God made to Abraham, God was faithful. God fulfilled everything that He said He was going to do. That's Joshua telling the people, trust in God because He's faithful. He's going to do what He says. In 1 Kings 8:56, Solomon says the same thing. He says, every promise has been fulfilled. All of those promises that God made have been fulfilled. Now, He's talking about the physical blessings. Were they a country? Sure were. Did God give them the law? He sure did. Did He give them the land that He promised them? He sure did. So everything that God said that He promised them, physically speaking, He did for them. Now there is a dual fulfillment, and we understand that, we grasp that. So now then, the rest of our time, we want to look at, flip over to Galatians chapter 3. Here's where we're going to spend the next few minutes together. This is what I want us to really, really grasp out of this morning, is this passage. Now, I know you've read this passage before, this chapter. Paul is one of my favorite books or letters that Paul wrote. He's writing at people that are, they're being discouraged because they're being told that if you can't trace your lineage to the right place, you're not gonna get anything. You don't have any chance. You don't have any hope. You've got to be tied to that law and that Jewish ancestry. And if you're not all of that, then what do you have to look forward to? So Paul is dealing with these things. Now he says in chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, he says, the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Paul says, now, I know you're struggling. I know people are trying to teach you things that really don't matter. Kind of like today. What's really important? Is it important to be able to trace our lineage back to a tribe or to being from some other country? Is it really important for us to understand that we're Irish background or we're whatever you are? Is it really, really important or necessary to understand all of those things? Paul says, nah, it's not. Because the gospel that was preached all those years ago to Abraham was the gospel that we need to understand today. That God would justify even the Gentiles. That was the message. He said it's not just for the Jews. This is for everyone. Now skip down to verse 16. He's going to make it absolutely, certainly clear, crystal clear to us. He says, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to your seeds as of many, but unto your seed as of one. Who is that? And your seed, he says, is Christ Jesus. What I'm saying is this, the law which came 430 years later does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. He said the promise the people didn't grasp was the gospel of the Christ, the Messiah.
People misunderstood that, and what they wanted to do is they wanted to trace their lineage back to a man, to Abraham, and say, man, I'm descended from him. I came from him. Blood flowing in my veins ultimately went back to Abraham. Did Abraham save you? Abraham had that power? Abraham was a man. Abraham needed to be saved. Why do you want to trace yourself back to him?
But the gospel was preached to him, and when he said, and to your seed, all nations will be blessed, he was talking about Jesus Christ and the promise to come. Single greatest fact in the history of mankind is God's promise of salvation through the Messiah, through Jesus Christ. Now, we get to this point in our life and we start contemplating, who are we? Where did we come from?
And the world is tied into that, and the world is engrossed with this idea of wanting to understand who we are. Why do we look the way we look? Why do I have, of course it's gotten a lot darker, but why do I have red hair if I'm an Indian? And that's what I was told from the time I was little, you're Indian. And everyone looked at me and said, you're not Indian. You ain't dark enough to be an Indian. Yes, I am. I'm an Indian. To the point of one time, I had a lady walk in. I may have told you this story before. As an adult, I was working in a bank. And she walked in and she said, looked at me and she said, are you the Arpoka that went to Kickapoo Head Start when you were little? I looked at her and I said, yes, ma'am. Woo, I'm Miss Beasley. I was like, Miss Beasley, I remember you. She said, I'll never forget you. And she started laughing. And I'm like, oh great, here comes one of them good stories. I'm like, well, how do you remember me? I was only like 3 years old. 3 or 4 years old when I went there. And she said, oh, I remember you getting this boy, throwing him on the ground and beating on him. Because he said, you're not an Indian. And you said, yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. And said, next thing I know, before I could get to you, you were on the top of him, hitting him. I'm an Indian. I'm an Indian. And I laughed about that with her. But then I think, how many times in our life as adults do we so desperately want to know where we came from that we forget where we really came from? Where it really matters, where we really are, who we really belong to. Because I can get tied up in ancestral heritage, in the physical, and forget about the spiritual. That doesn't matter. This does. Where's your heritage? When you think and someone asks you, where did you come from? What is your background? What ancestors? Where does your genealogy go to? What do you say? What's the first thing that comes into your mind? How a lot of times
We struggle with not saying, I'm Creek, or I'm Irish, or I am... Dozens and dozens and dozens of generations to trace back to Abraham. None of us can do that. Even if we had a record, we couldn't trace our lineage back to Abraham. People are funny today. It seems this crazy desire that we have to know who we are, this seeking of understanding where we came from, we keep looking in the wrong place. Rather than looking to the promise, we look to some person. So where do we trace our lineage back to? Let's look at the last part of Galatians chapter 3, and we'll close with this morning. In verse 27, Paul says, "For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." First thing he says, all we have to do is trace our lineage back one generation and understand where we came from. Those of you who have been immersed, and what he's saying in that word, he says, those of you who have put that old man, that old woman that you were to death by burying them in that watery grave, then allowing God to raise you back to life, we are now connected. We are now clothed with Jesus Christ. We have put the old man to death. That is not us who live any longer. Let the fleshly man have his ancestor that are in the grave already. David's tomb still with us. Physically speaking, when we go into the grave, we're never coming out. And that physical shell doesn't matter whether we're Indian or whether we're Irish or whether we're whatever we are. It doesn't matter what we are. But what matters is when we put that old man to death and realize the physical doesn't matter, it's the spiritual that matters, and allow God to raise us back to a new life. Now who are we? Now where do we trace our genealogy to? To the promise, to Jesus Christ. We've clothed ourselves with Him. Then He says in verse 28, "For there is neither Jew nor Greek." It doesn't matter. Maybe your translation says even barbarian. It doesn't matter who you are. The Jews are saying, if you don't proselyte, if you don't become one of them, then you don't have any promises. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek. It doesn't matter whether you're a slave or a free man. Wait a minute. I can be a slave and be traced my lineage back to Christ. Yes, you can. That's what he says. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't even matter whether you're a man or a woman. We trace our lineage back to Jesus Christ. He says, "For we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." Not heirs because we have the right blood flowing in our veins, but because we have the right blood cleansing us. And allowing God to see us and account us as righteous, just like the one whose blood was shed for each one of us. Everyone who has given their life to Jesus Christ, who have clothed themselves with Him, this is all we have to trace ourselves back to the promise. Not through generations and generations of physical bloodlines, but back to one. The promise that God made to Abraham several thousand years ago, that preached through him the gospel, that we realize to this very day, there's only one that saves. And then one last verse that I'll share with you. You don't even have to turn there. I've shared this with you numerous times. Ephesians 1:3. And I love this verse. I want to end with it because it simply states what it means to be in Christ. What is that blessing to mean? When we trace our lineage back to the promise and we become a child of God, what do we gain by it? And Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, every spiritual blessing is in Christ Jesus. Nothing outside of Him. You cannot have a single spiritual blessing if you're not in Christ Jesus. Can't do it.
We talk about spiritual blessings. Look around you this morning. You can't be a part of the Lord's church if you're not in Christ Jesus. You can't say, I've been forgiven of my sins if you're not in Christ Jesus. You can't tell the world, I've been sanctified, I've been justified, I'm at peace with God. You can't even say, I have the right to pray. I know God is going to hear me. If you're not a child of God, you don't have that right. We have the right.
We have all of those blessings in Jesus Christ because this is who we are. This is our ancestry. This is the genealogy that we belong to. This is our family tree. I belong to Jesus Christ. I don't have to go anywhere else. This is my genealogy. This is my family tree because this is where it starts and it ends. The promise is in Jesus Christ. It always has been. All the way back to Abraham, or if you want to go even further, all the way back to Adam and Eve was when the first time God mentioned the promise of the Messiah. He's going to come and He's going to conquer. And He will do everything that He's promised. The question this morning for you still, where do you trace your lineage to? I tell you right now, if you can't trace it to Jesus Christ, you're not in the family of God. You don't belong there. That's not an arrogant thing at all. But just like we were talking about in Bible class this morning, and Peter, he writes what? You are a chosen people. A royal priesthood. A people belonging to God. Is that arrogant for me to say that? No. God said it. God said, you're my child. That's my dad. That's my father. Just like physically, I'm not embarrassed to introduce anyone to my dad, my physical dad. I love my dad. We just got to go fishing last week for his birthday, 80th birthday. And I'm thankful, and I told him, I'm thankful that I've had you for my father here in this place. He has given me a whole lot of things to help me right here. He's the one that took me to church. He's the one that made sure that I was always in Bible class. He was the one who always encouraged me to do what was right, as best as I could do. But He's my earthly father. Our spiritual father. Our eternal father. Says, you're my child. Here's how. I want you to respond. Where do you trace your lineage this morning? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that. And there's only one way we can do it. Have you given your life? Have you been clothed with Jesus Christ? There's only one way to do it. The Bible's told us. Are you in God's family tree? Your choice this morning. If you're not, you're in a better time than right now. And if you are and you've walked away and you said, you know, I really don't want that. I don't want to be in that family anymore. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to do that. And there's no better time than to renew that. Go and accept who you are. Sometimes we need to be reminded of who we are. Whose we are. What family are we in? Are you in the family of God this morning? You have that opportunity right now. You need to respond. Do it, please, right now. Stand and sing.